Did you know that there are things that God hates? Find out today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. For the next 8 weeks, we're going to learn about the things that God hates from Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. In this study, we will learn about seven abominations, like pride, lying, and murder, as well as four others. Well, let's begin our study today as we look at Proverbs 6 and verse 16. The scripture is filled with many things that tell us about the God that we serve. It not only tells us who He is, but it also tells us what He is like. This morning, I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 6. And this morning, we're going to look at verses 16 through 19, or at least begin a look at those verses. And here we will get an idea of the things that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 16. It says, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren." Solomon gives us a list of seven things that God hates. In fact, if you notice that all seven of these, according to verse 16, are an abomination to God. This morning we're going to begin to look at this. In fact, we're going to attempt to look at the first two. And notice verse 17, he gives us the first one. The first thing that God hates is pride. Notice he says here, a proud look. One writer calls this haughty eyes. Can I say, according to the scripture and according to Proverbs 21:4, that pride is sin? Not only is it an abomination to God, but it is simply a sin. Proverbs 21:4 says, "A haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin." So he tells us there that it is sin. But notice the word that he uses there in verse 6, or verse 17. He says, "a proud look." The word "proud look" there, it simply means to be high acting. It means to raise or to rise. It literally means to bring up or to exalt. William Gurnall, he gives this definition. He says, "Pride loves to climb up, not as Zacchaeus to see Christ, but to be seen." And that's why God hates it. It is a rising up of yourself. Thomas Manton says, "This is certainly pride, for it is a lifting up of the heart above God and against God and without God." You see, this is the condemnation that the devil was brought into. He sought to lift himself up above God, and every time that you manifest a haughty heart or a proud look or pride, you're manifesting something that is against God. Now, how do we know it's against God? Well, let me give you some things that the Bible says about pride. First of all, it says in James chapter 4 and verse 6 that God resists the proud. Notice what it says here. "But He gives more grace. Therefore," he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God blesses the humble. God does not bless those who have given themselves over to pride. And can I say that this is usually the number one reason why people will not come to Christ? They do not want to humble themselves before a holy God. They don't want to strip themselves of their pride. And the Bible says here that God will resist the proud. So if you're proud in heart, God resists you. Further, the Bible tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 21 that God rebukes the proud. You think God leaves a man in his pride? No, He rebukes him in his pride. It says here in Psalm 119 and verse 21, "You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments." And let me say this, if you're caught up in a proud look, you're caught up in a haughty heart, if you're caught up in pride, that will cause you to stray from the Word of God. That will cause you to stray from the commandments of His mouth. Thirdly, we see that God will repay the proud. God will just not leave him where he's at, but God will repay him his due. God will give him what he exactly deserves, because what he is doing, what he is manifesting, is against God himself. And Psalm 31 in verse 23 tells us, "Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person." And you ask yourself, well, what does God do when he repays the proud? Well, Proverbs 16, you're there. Look at verse 5. Proverbs 16, actually you're in chapter 6, but if you go to chapter 16, and if you look at verse 5, it says, "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished." God will punish the proud. So take an inventory of what we've already discovered. Pride is against God. And God resists the proud person. And therefore he rebukes the proud person and will repay the proud person with punishment. You could further state it this way in Psalm 101 and verse 5. It says that God will judge the proud. It says, "Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure." Proverbs 15:25 says, "God will destroy the proud. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow." Now, I've noticed this week when I was studying this that there are a lot of verses given over to this subject. A lot of verses. And why do you think God addresses it from so many different angles? It's because it is against him. It is because that this is what led the human race into sin. If you remember, it didn't just begin with Adam and Eve. It began with Lucifer. It began with Satan. And he was proud in his heart. Let me show you a passage. It's found over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. In chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, the Bible is giving qualifications for leaders in his church. God is giving qualifications of the type of leaders that God wants to lead his church. You go down to verse 7, and in that list of qualifications, he says this, "Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside," notice this, "lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil." Now, what did the devil do? He was lifted up with pride, wasn't he? You say, well, how do you know all of that? Well, turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 14. And you can see there exactly how that Lucifer, how that the devil himself exalted himself, and how that God casted him out of heaven for his pride. It says in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart." Now listen to what he says here. He says, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God," that is above the angels. "I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." He wanted to be like God. But to be very honest with you, he wanted to be higher than God. He wanted to be exalted above God. And look what it says in verse 15. "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." Now, did God leave him in that pride? Absolutely not. Did God leave the angels that he led in that rebellion? Did God leave them alone? Absolutely not. God cast them out of heaven as well. In fact, it tells us in 2 Peter, there are some that are consigned to the pit. And they're in that pit even to this day. And we know during that period called Great Tribulation that they're going to be loosed from the pit for a time. God has a very serious attitude towards pride. A very serious attitude. Henry Smith says, "I may say of pride, many sins have done wickedly, but thou surmountest them all. For the wrathful man, the prodigal man, the lascivious man, the surfeiting man, the slothful man, is rather an enemy to himself than to God. The envious man, the covetous man, the deceitful man, the ungrateful man is rather an enemy to men than to God. But the proud man sets himself against God because he does against his laws. He maketh himself equal with God because he does all without God and craves no help of him. He exalteth himself above God because he will have his own will. And can I just say this? When you operate in your own will and in your own power apart from God, you're operating by pride. That very thing that God hates. Now we see that this pride is against God, but let's go a little further than that. And we see that it is very destructive. Everyone that gets within its path experiences its destructions. It says over in Mark chapter 7, if you'd like to turn there, verses 21 and following, that pride defiles the person. So anytime you're filled with pride, that will defile you. That will pollute you. That will pollute your walk with God. In fact, it puts you at odds with God. But notice there in Mark 7, the background of this situation, you remember the Pharisees were, they were constantly overtaken by their own laws and their own rituals. And there a question had arisen about whether that the disciples should have washed their hands. And we're not talking about just washing your hands in cleanliness, but a ceremonial type of cleansing. And Jesus says that for within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, and notice this next word, pride, foolishness. Jesus says all these evil things come from within, and that is what defiles a man. But to eat with hands that haven't been washed in this ceremonial type of cleansing, that does not defile the man, his point was. What defiles the man is the things that comes from his heart. Look at that list again. That's a big list. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. You wonder where those evil thoughts come from? It comes from your own fallenness. It comes from your own evil heart. Adulteries. You wonder where people get caught up in adultery, how they can do some things like that. But that is coming from their heart. Fornication is the next one. How can people get caught up and be a fornicator? That is coming from their heart. How about those who do murders? You say, where does that come from? That comes from their heart. They don't need to be sent to a psychologist or a psychiatrist to tell them they've lost their mind. They just need to be told that they have a sinful, foolish heart. And they need to accept the consequences for their actions. I was proud to see this week that our legislature has sought to vote to shorten the appeal process or the death row process from 10 years to 5 years. To be honest with you, it shouldn't even be that long. Some of these guys sit up there and you and I pay for all of that. And they never experience the full penalty of what they've done. How about the many that get out that have killed people? And they walk away. Our justice system has failed at that point. Because according to Scripture, if you take a man's life innocently, your life is required. And you talk about abortion, the Bible says that the blood cries up from the ground because of all of that innocent blood that's been taken. But further, verse 22, he says, thefts, you wonder where all that comes from? That comes from the heart. Covetousness, wickedness, deceit. Sometimes you run into some people, even church people, they're very deceitful. That comes from an evil heart. Lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Jesus said, all these things come from within, and this is what defiles the man. That is why that pride is so destructive. It destroys everyone in its path. New Song had a very popular song some years back, and the chorus went like this. I, me, my, mine. Four words that spell decline. I, me, my, mine. You know, pride is one of the things that children learn very early on, right? And it's coupled with covetousness, isn't it? This is mine. You can't have it. This is mine. And let me tell you, pride is associated with all that as well. We don't have to teach people how to sin. They're doing very good on their own. We've got to teach people how to be righteous. We've got to teach people how to honor Jesus, right? We know how to sin. And we do it very well, don't we? But we need to understand that all sin, including pride, is against God. Now, notice some other things that it produces, because the Bible does tell us some things in its past of destructiveness, it does produce things. One of those things it produces is shame. Notice Proverbs 11 and verse 2. It says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Shame comes to those who are filled with pride. Because listen, after a while, your pride will cause you to come low. Your pride will be found out. And it will produce shame in your life. The next thing it produces strife. Have you been around people that are prideful, that are nothing but striving, quarreling? Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. See, pride has nothing good to offer us. Pride has nothing good to offer our relationship to Christ. It does everything to destroy that relationship. It does everything to tear us down. I want you to notice that in that passage there in Proverbs, it says a proud look. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to address a proud look. It's okay to look nice. Some of us linger a little long in front of the mirror, admiring what we see, don't we? You know, the Bible says that Scripture is a mirror. And when you look into that mirror, you know what it shows you? It shows you your sin. It shows you how ugly you really are. You know what I mean? Now, don't misunderstand me. God's created a beautiful creation here, hasn't He? He's created man in His image. But sin has messed up that image, hasn't it? I used to hear someone say one time, a preacher a long time ago, used to say, sin will make you ugly. And I've been around a lot of people that must be really sinning because they sure are ugly. But it will make you everything that God doesn't want you to be. Pride is a loser. And listen, sometimes we struggle with that in the workplace. We struggle with that in the schools. We struggle with that in our neighborhoods. We're filled with pride. We want to have the nicest looking car, the nicest looking house, the nicest looking clothes. Listen, be thankful you have something to drive. Be thankful you have somewhere to sleep. Be thankful you have something to wear. You know what I mean? Only pride would reveal or seek not to reveal where we get some of our clothing, right? I've met some really nice thrift stores, haven't you? Pride produces shame. It produces strife. It produces destruction. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, and this is probably a verse most familiar to you. It says, pride goes before destruction. Or some verse renderings would say, pride goes before the fall. And it says, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. It produces destruction. Before there is trouble in a person's life, a man or a woman lifted up with pride will find himself in a place of destruction. Now, let me focus just even a little further, because 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, you know that passage that we went through? It said, love not the world, nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then it tells us what's characterized of the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it says, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see why this is so debilitating? You see why this is so much against God? Because it's worldly. It's on a level that certainly doesn't compete with God, but yet that very attitude that when you possess that, you are competing with God. Pride is against God. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first two verses there, tell us in the list of those things that occur in the last days that this too will characterize the last days. People will be filled with pride. Notice what it says. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Dangerous times will come. They'll come and set in. And then it says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, and proud. All of those are associated with pride. They love themselves. They love their money. They're boasters. They're talking about things they don't have. They're filled with pride. That will characterize the last days. That will permeate the days before Christ comes. And can I say that that's permeating the days today? Is it not? You look at our government. Our government, it's really no more corrupt than it's always been. Right? It's just a lot of it's come out in the last several years. A lot of the unrestrained. And there are even scriptures that speak against that, that talk about why that has occurred the way it's happened. But I like what this one writer says. Joseph Hall says, "If God spared not the angels, whom He placed in the highest heavens, but for their pride threw them down headlong to the nethermost hell, how much less shall He spare the proud dust and ashes of the sons of men, but shall cast them down from the heights of their earthly attitude to the bottom of that infernal dungeon? Humility makes men angels. Pride makes angels devils. As that father said, 'Oh, let us be humbled by our repentance, that we may not be brought down to the everlasting confusion. Let us be cast down upon our knees, that we may not be cast down upon our faces.' For God will make good His own word one way, a man's pride shall bring him low." In other words, to be brought down, to be brought in a place of humility before God, is to humble yourself and strip yourself of the pride. Not be forced in eternity, or not be forced in this life to God for you to strip, for Him to strip it from you, to bring you to that place. So when you look at this attitude in relation to a believer, pride is to be hated. Pride is to be forsaken. And why is it to be forsook? Because God hates it. And that is the greatest reason, isn't it? Because God hates it. I remind you again of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. It says there that it is an abomination to Him. The word abomination there, the word literally means it is something disgusting. It is something abhorrent. It's something that God disgusts. It disgusts Him. So therefore we ought to forsake it. We ought to hate it. A second reason why it's to be hated, not only because God hates it, but because we cannot fear God when we are filled with pride. You know, the greatest attribute that a believer pursues is the fear of the Lord. Notice Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate." So when you seek to fear the Lord, you seek to hate evil. And you seek to recognize that pride and arrogance is part of evil. Pride and arrogance is sin. Pride and arrogance is something that you are seeking to forsake. So you treat it just like any other sin, right? But notice the second thing in our list that God hates. Also in verse 17. He says a lying tongue. God hates pride, and God hates lying. In our family, we have always taken a strong stand against lying. We have magnified the punishment to that to about the third degree. Because I cannot stand a liar. Now that's just human terms. How do you think God feels? We know that this is an abomination. Verse 16. It is part of these seven things that are an abomination to Him. But if you want another verse, Proverbs 12:22 says this, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So we see that lying is equally an abomination to God. Just like pride is an abomination, so is lying. And it's amazing, though, that we'll tolerate pride. We'll tolerate some of the other evils. But when it comes to lying, we seem to magnitude the punishment, right? We ought to magnitude the punishment on all of these. To be honest with you. Because pride is just as destructive as lying. Let's look at some of the things that happen when you're filled with lying. First of all, we see that lying is destructive as well. Proverbs 26:28 says, "A lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin." A flattering mouth will ruin a person, and a lying tongue will crush those who are crushed by it. it will cause destruction. Hey, you and I have experienced people that have lied to us. And some of us experienced it at such a level, it did cause much devastation. And you know, it's amazing that some people use lying to get themselves out of trouble, but all they're doing is digging a deeper hole. I don't say very much political, but can I please camp on this for just a minute? The President of the United States, a confessed liar. Now, what may be different about him than our past presidents is maybe he's the only one that actually got caught in it. But you know what amazes me above everything? Is that we have a professed liar that leads our country, and many of American people have forgotten all about that. And they just keep looking at what everything has done for me, how this economy is working for me, and they forget that we have a liar leading us. Now, I know that won't be for much longer, but can I say this? Please vote a biblical conscience. Don't vote for your pocketbook. You know what I mean? We got people up there that are running that are murderers. You say, well, gosh, that's a strong thing to say. Listen, they believe in abortion. That's murder. Isn't it? I don't believe a life should be taken for any reason. They always use this excuse, the life of the mother. There's hardly ever been an occasion for that to happen. To take a baby because the mother was going to die in that process. I've seen the opposite occur where they're told that the mother's going to lose her life and she not only delivers a healthy baby, but she comes through that as well. Healthy and fine. We ought to vote our conscience. And we ought to have a conscience that's been taken captive by the Word of God, not by the opinions of men, right? Lying is destructive. It's also deceptive. Proverbs 10, verse 18 says, "Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool."
These are just some of the things that God hates as defined in His Word. And as we study through this in Proverbs chapter 6, we're going to see many other things. The title of this message today has been called "The Things That God Hates." And again, it's taken from Proverbs chapter 6. This message is available today on cassette tape for $3, on CD for $5, or you can download the MP3 from our website for $1. Call us today at 904-651-3351 to place your order. Or go online at www.changebygrace.org, where you can also place your order. You can write us at P.O. Box 26041, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Well, Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information about our ministry, again, call us at 904-651-3351. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. Thank you for listening today. I hope you'll join us again next time as we study God's Word.